So welcome to our newest podcast in the Northampton Community Music Center podcast series. And today I'm talking with Anne Wherry, who has been a longtime cello teacher here at the Music Center, and who also for a long time was in charge of the Music Center's chamber music program. And so I'm just going to ask you, first of all, to talk about your role in the chamber music program here. What did it involve?
Thank you for that lovely introduction, Joe. I'm very honoured to be here. So yes, chamber music is one of the things that I've done here at NCMC. I've actually worn a number of hats here at the Music Centre. I co-direct the summer chamber music program that we run here. That's for kids and teenagers up till seniors in high school. And for the last 4 years, I've directed the chamber music program during the year. I just passed the hat this fall to Capella Sherwood. She's going to be taking that on from now on. Mm-hmm. So the chamber music program during the year involves students of all ages. Obviously, it's been on hold during the pandemic, but it really involves students from the youngest who are ready for it to, retired people and everything in between, everyone in between.
So just let me follow up on that. So what do you have to do to be ready to be part of the chamber program?
You need to have several years of lessons under your belt. You need to be a strong reader and ready to play with others, basically. Uh-huh. Ready to play in an ensemble.
Okay. So could you tell the audience here, what is chamber music?
It's basically any time that you have two or more musicians playing together. I think many musicians like me have been very inspired to become musicians by playing chamber music. It's one of the most wonderful things that we do as musicians. For me, it was middle school, and I think this is true for many students, that in middle school, the social component is so important. I began playing in a string quartet with some friends. Looking back on it, I wish I'd had way more experience before that playing with others. Students here get things like the Suzuki group classes to prepare them. But I did find that the aspect of having music to prepare that I needed to have ready one on a part for these rehearsals, really it was a big motivator for me in middle school to practice and to get better. Mm. I also played in orchestra, which also involves a chamber music component, but it was really my...
Is the difference there just how many people are involved? So
yes.
How big does it have to be before it's not chamber music anymore?
That's a good question. We do talk about chamber orchestras, which are small orchestras. Uh-huh. I've seen many definitions. Some say any time it's more than seven or eight players, it's no longer a chamber group. But I think, chamber orchestra really goes up to about 15 players, perhaps uh-huh. 20. Uh-huh. And of course, there are many Baroque works that are for chamber orchestra. Music from the Baroque period that's written for string orchestra, but it's a chamber orchestra, and it's really like playing chamber music.
Uh-huh. Why is chamber music such an important, and you sort of started to talk about this, but why is chamber music such an important part of music education, or being a musician for that?
I think one of the things we're doing is building community, and there's a big social component where we're learning to work with others, and perhaps this is less true for adults who are coming to this, although I think for many of them it's the same. We have to learn to work out our differences in a group and to make music together regardless. Mm-hmm. Building community is a huge piece of it as well. I think we become part of a chamber music community, and a lot of adults find this, that they join one group and they end up playing in other groups, and in the end they know a whole bunch of people. They have a whole community to draw on to play music with. Uh-huh. And I think that's true in the Valley for sure.
Can you just talk a little about what chamber music does for somebody's musicianship as well as just their personal relation?
Well, you know, obviously we have to be able to play one on a part. You have to be able to hold your own part. You have to be able to count, to make your entry in the right place, to play with sensitivity to others, to modulate your own tone so it will match what others are doing, or to learn to back off and let someone else have a solo, and to blend your tone with that of others. And to perform, of course, with others. So there's the whole spectrum of musical skills that you may work on in your private lesson with your instructor, but it's a whole new level that you're working on. Groups who work in the chamber music program here at the Music Center, our program, we have a fall session and a spring session, and each session is typically, I think it's 9 coached rehearsals and a concert, a performance. So groups work with a coach, and the coach works on basically those aspects. We hope that everyone comes with their music learned by the first rehearsal, or at least within the first few rehearsals, so that we can work on these other aspects that are so much the reward of what you're doing.
Can you talk a little bit about the what the concerts are like with the performances?
What a wonderful celebration of what they've been doing. We gather in December and again in May in the recital hall at NCMC. Obviously, again, it's been on hold since March 2020, and we're restarting this fall. All the groups come together and perform for an hour for each other and friends and family. It's always so exciting to see the diversity of what everyone's been playing, the types of music, the diversity of ages and levels and stages. We work really hard, and certainly the chamber music coordinator works very hard to match people within groups as they register. It's always a challenge, and then the coordinator also selects music in discussion with instructors and chamber coaches. But it's still always kind of a surprise to see, how things have come out and have worked out, and what they've chosen to perform for the recital, how the music, how it all sounds, how they've worked together, how they sound together.
So you talk about, you mentioned diversity of music. Can you talk about what kind of, or what gets played at the at these recitals?
I'd say by and large, it's classical music. Most people sign up, and particularly the string players sign up wanting to do classical music. But we're open, and we have students every year who want to play pieces that are jazz oriented or non-traditional, or and we try to match them with someone else with similar interests and come up with interesting and exciting music. And I would say particularly for the young students, as the chamber coordinator, you're always looking for music that will excite them. Uh-huh. And that may be a movie theme or an arrangement of, Doctor Who or Jurassic Park theme or whatever it is. I think we had a group that played the Pokemon theme 2 years ago. And, I as the chamber coordinator, I was always looking for exciting new music and always trying to figure out what groups could be playing that would excite them.
When it's mostly classical, you focus mostly on Bach or Beethoven, but do you do Baroque and more modern things as well?
Oh, the whole range, yes. There are a lot of more contemporary arrangements, particularly for strings and piano. My own background, of course, is cello and string music. I always find when I have guitarists, for example, sign up for the program, or trumpet players, or someone who's asking for fiddle tunes, or I always have to go and talk to other teachers who teach those instruments and try to figure out, you know, I have an enormous knowledge of classical string music and music with strings and piano, but there's so much out there and, you know, so much fun to be had exploring it. So I always go and talk to other teachers. There's a lot of collaboration that goes on behind the scenes, of course.
You mentioned guitars. Does any instrument get to come into the chamber program if they want to?
Yes, absolutely. You know, obviously, if we only had a guitarist and a trombonist sign up, we'd have a problem because trombones make about 200 times the sound that a guitarist can. So, you know, the more diversity of instruments and types of music, the more difficult it is to match people. You know, I always... if that happens, that kind of thing comes up, I'm always recruiting, and all the chamber coordinators know about this, that, you know, you get on email or on the phone and call other teachers and say, hey, have you got a student that I could match with this student? And sometimes people come, students or grown-ups come to the program with friends in mind that they would like to play with, and that can be very helpful too.
Yeah. So you're dealing with a lot of different instruments. How big a challenge is it for you as a cellist to be coaching a group that has pianos or guitars or you know, some other instrument that you're unfamiliar with?
That's a really good question. You know, and the short answer is I don't always. You know, if it's a string group, I'll try to pick a coach who's a string player. If it's a piano group, if I can't pick a pianist as a coach, or if it's a mixed group, you know, definitely always try to pick a coach who plays one of the instruments and then see if you can perhaps get them to switch groups at some point so that they get that pianist to come and listen at least once. We can always do that at the summer chamber program. We almost always can get a coach in there at least once who knows all the instruments and get some input from them. That really helps the students. The longer answer is that you're not just working on instrumental skills, you're working on these bigger musical skills. So those cut across all instrument and music varieties, of course, playing together, truly playing with good ensemble, really playing together, learning to listen. All those things are universal skills for chamber music.
So that sort of goes right into my next question, is when you're coaching, what are you listening for when you're listening to your players? What are you trying to get them to listen for?
Yeah, it's a completely different skill than if you're playing, I suppose. Well, perhaps not completely different. You're really trying to listen to the whole group and, you know, not just one part, and you're trying to listen to, you know, how accurate are their, is their ensemble? Are they really playing together, truly together? Could they be watching more? So you're kind of looking at the interaction physically between the group. And of course, this is why chamber music doesn't work on Zoom. Not only that you can't really see and hear each other properly, but, you know, you can't really play concurrently. Put the program on hiatus during the pandemic. But, you know, the coach really does have to bring a lot of skills to that listening to the whole group. It's a lot of fun, and I think teachers love doing it. They love coaching.
How's it different, like, the adult program that you have during the year and the summer program that you have that's just for... How's it different coaching younger kids than it is from coaching adults, or is it that different?
There are many things that are just the same. I don't think it's really that different coaching in many ways. Perhaps the big difference is that, I suppose there are some adult groups who come and the students are very inexperienced as well. I don't really think there's a difference in the actual coaching. I think the big difference with the summer program is that since everyone's coming at the same time, it's easier to put the groups together and it's easier to find the rehearsal times. Our program during the year, we pledge to match you with a good group, but then we have to find times that everyone can come and the coach can come. You know, we pledge to find a time that everyone can do each week. And that can be really challenging with everyone's busy schedules and lives and you know, some adults are still in the workforce and can only come in the evenings, and others really don't want to come in the evenings, perhaps if they're retired, and they really do want to come during the day. And kids who are in school have limited hours they can come, and coaches have limited hours they can come. It gets challenging. Mm-hmm.
I assume that you have been here for some of the chamber workshops that the Music Center has done with high-level chamber groups. You've never been to one of them?
I haven't. I've seen the wonderful results. I have had a few.
Why don't you just talk about what that program is a little bit and how it works?
Sure. The Music Center has put on a number of one-day workshops. Typically, they're on a weekend day, and it's all within one day. It involves coaching with a high-level professional group, usually. We've had groups like the Borromeo String Quartet. I'm trying to think of other groups we've had. But really high-level professional players. So it's a wonderful opportunity. Preformed groups usually are the groups that come to those, because they've already worked on a piece on their own or as part of the chamber music program at NCMC, and then they can get some high-level input into their performance and their playing of that piece. I've had a number of students who've participated, usually teenage students who are more experienced, and what a wonderful thing. It really, you know, we get to that level where you're not just dealing with learning notes and learning to play the piece. It's all about those intangible skills that we talked about earlier, that you know, the real ensemble playing and the real listening that you can learn. I think it's really a wonderful thing. I was lucky enough as a teenager to be able to work that way too. So
you attended those kind of things at the beginning of your career?
Yes, I did. As a teenager, I grew up in New Zealand, and we had a local chamber music competition. Actually, it was a national chamber music competition. So every year I would be in groups that would participate in the competition. As if you won your local competition, you proceeded to a regional competition. And I remember being dismayed the first year. Oh, we have to work on this piece some more and play it again at a different competition, and at a higher level competition. How can we do more with this piece? And then realizing, as you know, a 13-year-old, 14-year-old, there's so much more to discover here. Mm-hmm. And that was a huge learning experience for me as a player. You know, you really can take your piece to the next level and learn so much more that you can apply to many pieces in the future. Uh-huh. And I'm pleased to note, by the way, that I did eventually win the national competition with my group in okay. high school.
In your own playing, what subgenre of classical music do you like to play the best, or what composer do you like to play the best?
Oh, that's a really good question. I haven't thought about it in a long time, and I haven't played nearly enough chamber music in recent years. I think, in a way, I've been living vicariously through the chamber music program at NCMC, watching other groups discover this wonderful repertoire that I can pair them with. I used to play a lot of chamber music, then I had children, and it becomes very difficult to, you know, be teaching and making a living, and so I really haven't done much in recent years. I have played in small groups for weddings and done gig work with small groups, but not as much as I used to. I'm hoping I can do more of it. Of course, you know, I love the chamber music, great music, you know, the great chamber music that I discovered when I was young, those Beethoven quartets you mentioned, and I love playing that stuff, but I'm always open to discovering new music.
Uh-huh. I assume as a cellist you must have learned the Bach cello suites.
Absolutely.
Are they like the Everest of for cello players?
I don't know if they're so much the Everest as the constant companion throughout your life. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's more like the the New York Marathon that you that you keep going back to run every year or something. You know, there's endless challenge there. There's endless inspiration there, and what a wonderful gift to cellists. We're so lucky to have them. I adore those that music. Of course, it's for solo cello and not so much. Can't really be considered chamber music, but we also, as cellists, have Beethoven cello sonatas, which really can be considered chamber music, and there are other wonderful cello sonatas. Mm-hmm. And those actually have been performed as part of the chamber program by cellists and pianists before.
Can you talk for a second about what it's been like trying to do lessons during the pandemic? And are there ups as well as downsides to it?
It was an enormous learning curve at first. Obviously, none of us expected to be doing this last March. And I remember spending sleepless nights and wondering how I was ever going to learn these new skills. Not just the tech skills, but it's really a whole different style of teaching. You have to relearn almost how to modulate your voice so that you don't come across as yelling over Zoom, and but you're never really sure if the student is hearing you because everyone has such different internet and such a different setup. It got easier, obviously, and I didn't spend as many sleepless nights. I feel I've come a long way with it and, you know, managed to hopefully make somewhat of a success of it as best as one can. You know, I think the advantage and something that we're all going to appreciate in the future is that students won't need to miss for snow days necessarily. You know, if they really need a lesson but they're sick or they have to be out of town or, you know, if it's snowing outside and they really can't travel, we could still have a lesson and we can still get something done and you might still get much of what you need. You know, the big thing that worries me about Zoom lessons and has always worried me is that I worry people think it's the same. It really isn't. You're not going to get the same benefits with a Zoom lesson that you will get with an in-person lesson. Perhaps one day the technology will come far enough that we can. I can't see that day coming anytime soon. You know, we really can't play together. We can't play duets. We can't really learn to play together. It's very difficult to work on tone still.
So the tone of the... You can't really tell what kind of tone they're getting through Zoom.
You can to a certain extent, but much depends on their internet connection, my internet connection. And it's just not the same. There's so much you can't hear. You sometimes can't really hear their dynamics very well, sometimes even pitch. So, you know, a lot depends on the internet, and most people don't have Ethernet cables or a good microphone. I eventually invested in a decent microphone that helped quite a bit, but of course that's what my students hear, not what I hear.
Right.
You know, I always wear a pair of headphones because I find sometimes I just can't hear my computer well enough. I think that helps a lot as well. And I've learned a lot about technology in 18 months. So, you know, it was something that for years I felt behind on, and I feel less behind now. I think I learned a great deal. So, you know, that's a potential upside, I suppose, and I think I'll try to stay on top of technological developments now, but I still wish we hadn't had to do it. And I really look forward to the day when we can always do in-person lessons without having to worry about getting sick.
What made you decide to move away from the chamber program and hand it off to somebody else?
Well, you know, I won't rule out doing it again in the future. I did it for 4 years, and I felt like it was a good time to pass the hat, as I said. You know, I am feeling a little overwhelmed. I think a lot of people this fall, in particular, my studio is very full, my private studio and my studio here at NCMC. Been getting a lot of calls all summer from people who had been sort of putting off starting cello or moving to a different teacher, some people who had moved from other places and looking for, you know, to join my studio. And you know, so I'm very full and feeling a little overwhelmed and feeling like I really need to focus on that. So it felt like a good time. Capella Sherwood is going to be a wonderful coordinator. She's very experienced, very inspiring, and she's a violin and viola teacher with a degree from New England Conservatory and lots of chamber music experience. I used to consult with her.
Is the chamber music happening at all with the pandemic? I assume you can't do that over Zoom.
Correct. I believe it is happening now that NCMC is opening for the fall for in-person lessons. We do have an in-person program with, NCMC is being very cautious. NCMC is requiring proof of vaccination for those who are old enough to be vaccinated. When students arrive at the music center, they're checked in. They get their temperatures taken and are asked about, symptoms. So, obviously, if those conditions can't be met, students can't meet in person. But I believe there are a number of groups that are going to get underway in a few weeks.
Mm-hmm. I think I've asked all my questions now. So I want to thank you very much for taking the time and trouble to talk with me. And it's been very interesting to hear what you have to say.
Thank you so much, Joe. It's been really enjoyable.